You will turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from verses 22 through 27. And James writes, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" All those kids know that. From Snow White, the wicked stepmother in that story liked it when the mirror told her that she was the fairest of them all. But when it told her that she wasn't, she became extremely jealous and very angry. You know, that's the thing about mirrors. They always tell us the truth, even if we don't like what we see. Some part of our morning ritual is coming face to face with that mirror. Most of us probably get a good look at ourselves while we're still pretty scary to look at. Facing our mirrors first thing in the morning is not a pleasant experience for some. Mirrors are very honest things. They don't compromise. It's very hard to Photoshop a picture in the mirror when you look at it and take that first snapshot. They don't gloss over our defects. They don't tell us that we are better looking than we really are. Every gray hair, every wrinkle, every wart, every pimple is exposed to that mirror. So why do we have them in our bathrooms? Well, it's because, as unpleasant as it may be to confront our faces first thing in the morning, we know that if we don't take a look at ourselves and make some major adjustments, that the rest of the world is going to see that morning face. As James here writes to the Christians and to you and I, he uses the mirror as a practical illustration of the Christian living out his faith. And this evening I'd like to take a little bit closer look at this text. You know, there are a lot of answers or great questions that we have that simply have no answers to. How old is the earth? Is it really only 6,000 years old? I don't know for sure. I know what my opinion is, and I know that if the age scale in my Bible is correct, that that's about true, but I don't know it for sure. When was the book of Revelations written? I have an idea, but the exact date and the exact time, I have none. We spend an awful lot of time talking about things to which we cannot give concrete answers to. My experience, as limited as it has been, has shown that many people want to argue over theology because it's easier than practicing it. Theology is simply the study of the nature of God and of religious belief. James calls us to put our theology into practice or to admit that it is meaningless. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Hebrew writer here, he writes, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, God said to Isaiah that his word does not return to him empty or void, but that his word accomplishes his desire and it achieves his purposes. And while Peter tells his readers in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 that they would do well to pay attention to God's word, for it is like a light shining in dark places. The Bible isn't simply a good story or a textbook for religious debates, but the Bible is the transformational message from God Himself. And God, in that transformational message, has encompassed everything from the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we can see the light today. The Bible is not our salvation, but it is the pathway to our salvation through Jesus Christ. And it is because of that that James tells us that simply to hear the message and proclaim that message and do nothing with that message is like looking in the mirror and seeing what needs to be changed but fail to change it. I know Vicki can tell first thing in the morning if I walk out of the bedroom and I'm all dressed ready to go, she'll say, "Did you shave this morning?" And I'll probably say, "Well, I did before I went to bed. Get back in there and shave." I can barely feel it, but she can see it. Maybe I need to change her glasses. James 1 and verse 25, he said, "But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein will be blessed." This word that we translate "look" in the Greek, it means to bend down and examine. This isn't just to look over and see things. It is to closely examine those things. It is exactly what Peter and John did in the tomb of Jesus on that Sunday morning. They examined, they looked and examined. James calls us to look deeply into that perfect law of liberty. And it brings us to a question, do I want freedom? And the answer is absolutely yes. But there's also a question that raises, does it require me to change, to be conformed to the image of God instead of my own desire? And again, it is emphatically yes. When we look deeply into God's perfect law of liberty, when we do that perfect law of liberty, we find a life that is blessed and content and happy and free. James gives us one practical illustration of what it means to look into the perfect law and to do it. And those are found in verses 26 and verse 27. That if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And then he gives us what pure religion is. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Reception. How we receive things. If we are receptive to the Word of God, then we will be and we should be all the time responsive to that Word. Earlier in this chapter, in verse 19, James writes about being slow to speak. But in this verse, 26, he places the tongue here because religion is more than just the words we say. It is the actions that we do. He's telling us here in these verses that we are to be an advocate for those who are afflicted, whether it is the orphans. And it's not just these two categories. These were a common thing that brothers and sisters in Christ in the early days had to look after because they had no one to look after them. You know, many years ago, when I was stationed in Sicily, there around Christmas time, the base had adopted an orphanage. And they gave us a name and an age, and they wanted us to go out and buy one gift for that individual. And they were going to have a little party there on the base for all these kids, just to show that people care for them, that they're not left out there in the cold. And I had this little young girl, I guess she was probably about 7 or 8 years old, that I had gotten the gift for. And I remember that year I had gotten Katie a little rainbow bright. It was a horse? Bear? Something, I don't know. It was rainbow bright stuff, if y'all can think back that far. I know you're not that old, Katie, but it seems like ages ago. And I thought she would like the same thing. And I found that it was an eye-opener. The girl grabbed the gift and walked off. And never said a word. A very harsh life. It was then that I started asking some questions. And orphanages there are different than here. Those orphanages there were filled with children whose parents could not or would not take care of them, who had gone to prison, who just had a very difficult life, or they just didn't want them anymore. And I guess maybe in those cases, some of our orphanages may be the same thing. But when I always thought of orphanages, I thought of children who didn't have parents because of death. And that wasn't the case. But it was an eye-opener. Because there are so many in this world who are struggling and battling. And those are the ones that we need to be concerned about. It is all well and good to say things and to pray for folks, but prayer doesn't do a whole lot if we're not willing to step in and help them in their time of affliction. The widows in those days, they had nothing. They had no property. If they were fortunate, they might have children, but those who didn't were left to fend for themselves. Brethren, I know what worthless religion is. It is thinking that we are Christians, but acting and talking like we're in the world. It is self-delusional. It is focusing on me and what I desire instead of what God desires. Both pure religion and faultless religion is acting on behalf of others and keeping the world and the pollutions of it out of our lives. We should, on a daily basis, look in that mirror. Not the mirror in the bathroom, not the mirror in the bedroom, not making sure the tie is straight or the hair is fixed just right, or whether we shaved in the morning, or whether we put on our makeup. I don't do that, by the way, but just putting that out there. But looking at our souls, seeing ourselves the way God sees us, and making the necessary changes in that life. If I was to poll everyone in this room this evening and asked one simple question, do you want to go to heaven? Without a doubt, I think I'd get 100% yes. But we have to be wary about those things. Maybe as we look in that mirror of God's Word, we realize that we are trying to hide things. Maybe it's our struggles, maybe it's our trials. Maybe it's the temptations. And maybe as we looked in that mirror, we have decided not to do anything about them, but just let it happen. That is a bad reflection. We need to understand and remember each and every day that God sees all of us in that mirror, and that there is nothing that is hidden from Him. He knows exactly where every mole, every wrinkle is on our being. But He also looks a whole lot deeper than just the surface. We need to take a look at the way we see others, especially the helpless. We need to ask ourselves, are we touched by their need? Are we striving to bring about a better life for those who need you to be a doer of God's word? You know, Vicki and I, we watch a lot of some of the old channels. I've made it known we just have an antenna. So there are a lot of stations that you don't get on cable or satellite that we get on antenna. And they play a lot of the old stuff, but on almost every one of those channels, they have their commercials from the ASPC or whatever there is, the Prevention for Cruelty to Animals. And it's a pretty good pitch. It almost makes you want to reach for the checkbook or your credit card or whatever, because they show all of these pathetic animals. And the other night, I was watching it last night, and I'm sitting there, how can anybody be so cruel? And then I got to thinking, why isn't this effort made for the people of our country and the people in our world who are struggling and hurting and trying to survive, and yet we are placing so much emphasis on four legs instead of two? Where is the compassion that we have for one another? The compassion that is given so often to our animal friends, and they are good companions. And those of us that have animals love them dearly. They are the most forgiving and forgetting of everything. But we need to take a look in that mirror. We need to see as God sees us, whether we are unspotted or whether we are dirty. Brethren, it's okay to say, I am saved by the grace of God, and that I am striving to do all that has been revealed to me. But if we are looking at a spiritually dirty person, and that could be our family, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, then we need to be able and want to share with them of how Jesus and His sacrifice and how God's plan of salvation can wash them clean. Don't let your religion be vain. Be productive in it. Make it the focus of your life. That law of liberty will set you free when you practice the things that you know to be right. If there is anyone here this evening who wants to be a partaker of that perfect law of liberty, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. For God's plan of salvation had made it very simple and a very easy process. The only difficult part of it all is making that sacrifice that you do not want to live in this world anymore, but that you want to start your journey to that home in heaven. I like it as putting Jesus to work and having to build another mansion, to prepare another one for us. And He will do that for you if you obey the gospel tonight through repentance and confession and for baptism to wash your sins away. But maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have not been living that perfect law of liberty. Maybe there is sin in your life that is causing you to want to look away from the mirror because you see things you do not want to see. Now's the time to change it, the time to correct the things in your life. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we ask that you come. Together we stand and sing.